Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 3, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com and Outkick 360. PK, what's going on? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm well, thanks.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, PK, before we get into the Titans, I do want to get your thoughts on the life and career of Mark Howard. You had a great piece up earlier this week at PaulKuharski.com, just kind of remembering Mark Howard from your vantage point. When you saw the news and when you started to reflect on Mark and your time with him this week, what really stands out to you in that regard?
He was a super loyal guy. He did a lot for the city. He did a lot for me. I think without him, I probably wouldn't be on the air with you guys right now, and I don't know that I would have had a radio career on top of my press career, so to speak. A real fountain of knowledge. I could always know that he would backstop me on encyclopedic stuff, and just a real kind-hearted guy, willing to laugh at himself, which was a big part of what we did. I was on his show up to 3 hours a week, 3 days a week with him and Frank Wycheck and Kevin Ingram. And somebody sent me a picture from way back when we were at the original studio downtown on 2nd Avenue, me just busting out laughing and Mark laughing too. And I can only imagine what we were laughing about. But I pulled into that parking lot every time knowing that something was going to crackle. And it was one of those unique chemistry situations that, it's hard to duplicate. And it's hard to believe at 65 that he's gone. The tributes that have poured in and the reaction to what I wrote has been really incredible. And I know I talked to his brother. There'll be a memorial in a month or 6 weeks, and I can only imagine how that will continue. I haven't been in great touch with him, but we've texted periodically, and I'll miss even that.
One thing, Paul, in your piece, which is great, I wasn't familiar with this at all, but the walkathon. Can you just kind of walk us through that? That sounded pretty memorable.
Yeah, it was the walk off
or the walk off.
I was on the air with them. Mark was really good. He was working towards getting fit, and Frank was slipping. Former Pro Bowler who was working on getting not fit. It was not two ships passing in the night by any means. But Mark, feeling good, was being made fun of for, his working regimen. And he fought back and he said, "I will walk you into the ground," to Mark. And I immediately, we have to an event. Here we have to have some sort of event where you will walk him into the ground. So we ended up at the downtown Y, which has a track upstairs, and as I remember it, and I were kind of or it was right after maybe the show, and whatever was next was doing that I was a part of, and we were reporting. Frank was like a wrestler the way he was carrying himself, and Mark invariably pulled a calf, I think, or a hamstring, and got slapped multiple times by the former athlete, and the walk-off was born. It's an infamous moment in Nashville sports talk history, and it was a fiasco during which Wycheck, you know, tried to splash from the upper floor, ended up pouring water on my computer over the ledge, nearly had to buy me a new Mac. But nobody was walked into the ground. Mark was walked into the ground.
As you said, Paul, just it's been awesome to hear some of the memories coming in of Mark Howard all week long, and appreciate you providing perspective on that as well. So moving on to yesterday's events with the Titans, Paul, anything in particular stand out to you on John Robinson's answer of Jeffrey Simmons? It sounds like the Titans expect him to be on the field. Did you read anything into the way that John Robinson addressed, or maybe more specifically didn't address, the Jeffrey Simmons situation yesterday?
No. I think the biggest development yesterday was that Nick Bosa and the Niners kind of agreed that they would wait until next year. Now, Nick Bosa, who was second or third in that draft class, has a much bigger base salary because he was drafted so high. You know, so you could make the case, hey, Jeffrey Simmons is more deserving because he's got a low base salary. But I think the Titans would counter that, hey, nobody in this class has been offended yet, and it would have helped Jeffrey Simmons if Bosa got a new deal. So there's no precedent here for anybody in the class to get a new deal. It's not a great class, so I don't know that anybody's going to get a new deal. Anybody else is going to get a new deal in the next couple weeks. You know, I won't be surprised if they do something, but... you know, and I don't have a great sense. I can't have a great sense of what's going on behind the scenes. But certainly, I think I would agree, based on what we heard yesterday, it seems like without resolution, they're going to move forward and be back out there.
So if Treylon Burks didn't have a good last few weeks, Paul, I wouldn't expect, you know, Vrabel or Robinson to be like, yeah, he's struggling. You know, probably won't be out there much. I guess they, you know, I would expect them to be kind of non-committal or avoid the question. But I took their answers yesterday as encouraging on the Burks front. What about you?
Yeah, he was out of shape, as one of us maintained. About, and he woke up and got in shape, I think, is what happened. I took Joe. I thought this was interesting. I mean, Robinson turned pretty quickly off the medical stuff into maybe the field matters that were not asthma related when he was asked if he knew that Burks had asthma.
Yeah.
I think that is a 50-50 coin flip as to whether the Titans knew that they had asthma. Another example of them not having sufficient information potentially on a guy that they make a huge investment in. And I understand why they took Burks, but again, you know, I was at a point before this draft where I thought, you know, they shouldn't have taken a guy who'd had a hangnail based on what's been going on with first-round picks. If they didn't know that he had asthma, I can't imagine that's possible with the medicals in Indianapolis. But the way he answered that question certainly left open that possibility, I thought.
The way he just decided not to answer it at all.
Yeah, I said he was very forthcoming with the things that he needed to get better at, which wasn't an answer at all.
Paul Karski from PaulKarski.com and Outkick 360 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So PK Buster Screen apparently announcing his retirement to the Titans. As you view their corner room right now, it's not like Buster Screen was going to be a starter out there or anything, most likely, but Do you worry that maybe their corner room is too young? Kind of how do you view that situation now with Buster Screen out of the picture with the Titans?
Yeah, I think it's definitely too young. Buster Screen wasn't much of a player until last year. I think he played his best football of his career last year, and that was it certainly helped the Titans out in a season where they were rolling like crazy. And they need another body at corner. It would be great if they found a veteran. You know, it's not mandatory, but their top three guys are really young. The only guy that's really played, We know Farley, you know, played maybe three games, and McCready is a rookie. So, you know, Screen would have had a nice role there as the veteran old head, and they lose him to retirement, and he was a depth piece and certainly a leadership piece. So they've got a little work to do there, but that guy may not be out there now. That may be a guy you don't find until we'll start cutting around the league later on. I don't think they're going to panic about it unless or until they get a couple pulled hamstrings or something. Unlucky at that position.
Okay, PK, I got to ask, what is your obsession with how Dylan Radins answers questions? Like, I feel like you've been asking for weeks now about Dylan Radins, like, you know, I want the job, or I don't even remember exactly how he answered something. Like, what is, are you writing like a huge think piece on Dylan Radins' interview answers?
No, I've just been gathering, Joe, over a span of time. I would think an athletic writer would understand that. Here's the thing. Mike Vrabel, a couple combines ago, maybe even pre-COVID, was on the air with us, and he's like, he said something like, you know, we go into these meetings with these guys and ask them about their personality, and a guy will say, I'm aggressive. And I'll say, no, you're not aggressive. If you're talking like that, you're not aggressive at all. And, you know, scratch him off. And so I find that to be the case with Dylan Radins, who talks incredibly passively about the job. Well, the five best guys are going to win this job, and I'll support the five best guys. He never says, the five best guys are going to win this job, and I'm going to be one of the five best guys. And it strikes me as similar. It fits into what Vrabel was saying. He does not, to me, have an iota of the personality that suggests he's gonna go be a kind of guy that goes and sees that job. And I don't understand how that fits in with what Vrabel said. And it's part of the reason I have very little confidence in Dylan Radins to A, win the job, or B, be good at the job once he gets the job.
I mean, there's all kinds of different personalities and interview styles that go into effective players at that position or other positions. No?
Yes, there are. In most of them, there's an element when you talk to, with them about the desiring to play. I don't see a desire to play in the limited things that we've had with him. I saw, you know, every time I looked at him on the bench, he's standing off alone and not with the group. He took up a lot of heat from the heaters at the cold game, that guys who were actually playing reserve. And I just get a bad vibe off of him. Maybe I'm wrong, but their recent offensive lineman selection suggests he won't be a hit.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com and Outkick360, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good to be with you, gentlemen. Joseph, I'll see you coming in late when asking for updates.
Yeah, hey, take that roll call for me. I'll expect updates. Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Paul Kuharsky, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
I have some thoughts.
We'll get Joe's thoughts on that as well coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
I mean, there's all kinds of different personalities and interview styles that go into effective players at that position or other positions. No?
Yes, there are. In most of them, there's an element when you talk to, with them about desiring to play. I don't see a desire to play in the limited things that we've had with him. I saw, you know, every time I looked at him on the bench, he's standing off alone and not with the group. He took up a lot of heat from the heaters at the cold game that guys who are actually playing deserve. And I just get a bad vibe off of him. Maybe I'm wrong, but their recent offensive lineman selection suggests he won't be a hit.
That was Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com and Outkick 360 on with us in the last segment. By the way, you can catch Outkick 360 every day from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Show your reaction to Paul's take on Dylan Raditz there in the last segment.
Can you imagine the analysis of various interviews and quotes that Stilly and Pauly are going to combine to have? Like, the Stilly and Pauly show is just going to be,
I can't wait,
like, next level. You know, so Karski started asking that yesterday again. I'm like, dude, when are you writing this? Like, write the story that Dylan Raditz is a meek interview and so he sucks. Dylan Raditz may not be good. I would definitely agree with that.
Well, I would lean toward that probably being the likelihood at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, huge question. I think he's going to be the number one right tackle today when they line up, you know, when the offense lines up, and he's going to have that opportunity. And there was a lot of talk yesterday about the offseason, and we've gone through everything with Dylan Raditz, and John Robinson reviewed it yesterday. You know, smaller school, FCS school, COVID year, played one game, went a long time without playing football, and all that stuff. I certainly, still a huge question whether he can perform at this level, but I guess, like, I was at the same interview session, which is just a few, you know, people were gathering around Raditz after the practice field in the spring that Kuharsky was at. And I must be just oblivious to obvious things. He was fine.
You did miss the the mentor gate at the press conference.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe this is my flaw, but, like, does Kuharsky want to be like, Mr. Kuharsky, this is my job. I'm taking this job. Like, he wants somebody Randy Macho Man Savage? Or like talking a pirate voice, hey, this is my job, matey. I mean, like,
please do that more. What?
I mean, I don't know what he wants from him.
Captain Joe Rexroad over here.
But hey, I will agree with Kuharsky that there's a big question about whether he can play. Let's go through. Let's go through some great offensive. Let's go through Titans offensive linemen in recent years.
Okay.
So because Tara Lawan is a goofball who has a podcast who says wacky stuff, is that good or bad? I mean, he couldn't be more different from, you know, Ben Jones, who's like a quiet, you know, leader and all that, but he's not a loud guy. He's a very straightforward, businesslike guy. I mean, different personalities all across the board.
Right, but I think what Paul's getting at is, like, is there confidence there from Dylan Raditz that he is the guy for the job?
But it's just – and that's fine. But I think interview settings have their limitations
they
on
do.
That. And all the questions were asked of Raditz during that session. I thought he handled himself fine. He just, like, I didn't feel like I was talking to a hapless wallflower who, you know, just had no chance of, I mean, I don't know if he can play. That's what matters. I guess I just, the fact that Kuharsky asked again this stuff yesterday, because I think he asked that day or maybe the next day or maybe two or three days in a row in the spring after that interview about that. It's like, just write the story then.
Well, we talked about, you know, whatever Raditz put out there on Twitter that one time of, you know, guarding the bench and all that other stuff that he put out there last year, and Kuharsky's thoughts on that.
Like, Titans fans, is this who you want representing your offensive line?
Which I love PK. Hope he never changes.
I love PK. And Stilly and Pauly are gonna.
I mean, really, they
parse some comments.
It boils down to what you're talking about. Like, can the guy play? I mean, John Robinson was asked about it yesterday, and they're like, "Yeah, we want Dylan Raditz to block the guy, do his best to block the guy in front of him." Like, that's what it boils down to. And look, I mean, I talked about this after he was drafted. You know, the offensive lineman from the smaller schools scares me because it's a different level, even from that level of college football to Power 5 college football, much less the NFL. Like, it's a gigantic leap that you're making on the line of scrimmage. Skill players, I think you get a better idea. Like, you can run a 4-3 or you can't run a 4-3. That's what it boils down to. Offensive linemen, it's a different ball game. So can he handle the physicality of it? Now, look, people have gone too far the other way. Well, the San Francisco game from last year, he was great. He was okay. He was good relative to expectations. It's not like he was out there just stonewalling Joey Bosa to the ground by himself or anything. So, or Nick Bosa. Excuse me. Yeah. But
whatever.
Yeah, same thing. Whatever. But, you know, that's what it's going to boil down to. Can he be a competent starting right tackle in this league? And I guess we're going to begin to find out the answer to that today.
Yeah. And my point here is just I didn't come away from that with a feeling either way, you know, the interview. Again, I thought he answered the questions pretty well. And by the way, Stillian Pauly, this could be the first segment in 2031 when the show gets going. Jared texted me. That's BS from Paul. I asked Dylan if he wanted to be the right tackle, and he said straight up he wanted the job. Oh, we've got controversy on Stillian Pauly.
Joe, you're going to produce the show.
Oh, my God. I hope so. Oh, my goodness. I want to be out there promoting that show all over town. And you know what? Jared's right. He did say that. And again, he wasn't like, yeah, my job. But, yeah, now I need to go find the transcript. I think I probably still have the audio on my phone. Maybe I can just play the whole interview one of these segments. What do you got? We can judge for ourselves. But, yeah, the question with him, of course, is just can he play? I think you're right. I've always been a big everybody stop, dismissing the FCS. In fact, actually, I think when Corey Davis was drafted, I remember for the Tennessee, and I did a thing where I went back and like found all the Pro Football Hall of Famers who had come from a small college. There's a long list. A lot of great players from a lot of small schools, of course.
The Titans had a pretty good quarterback, came from a pretty small school as well.
Yes, but I agree with you that like you get a much better look at guys in the trenches if they're playing the best of the best week after week. That spot, maybe I'm a little more hesitant. And maybe there's a – actually, I'd love to see a breakdown of this, and maybe it's out there, you know, positionally. I think you're more likely to find those guys who develop as skill guys and maybe just weren't that in high school, but then 4 years later when they're 21, they're totally different than maybe the trench guys. But go ahead.
I was just going to say 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Everything on the table with the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We'll get into John Robinson and Mike Vrabel's comments on Treylon Burks coming up next as well. Join 1025-1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, we're taking donations to provide shoes for children in need for the school year, but we can't do it without you. So please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game.
Being able to hone in on the skills that the coaches need me to be honed in on. Like I said, it was a little bit different going from North Dakota State to here. So being able to hone in on those skills that the coaches needed me to be honed in order to start.
That was Dylan Radins from earlier in the spring discussing his role with the offensive line.
What kind of answer is that, Dylan? My skills!
We'll see what happens on that front today. I mean, we're really going to know when the full pads are on. Like, we're really going to know, I think, a good deal of what he looks like when the Bucs come in, when the Cardinals come in, right? Like, you'll get an idea going up against your own line in camp. But, you know, Vrabel kind of talked about this yesterday. Like, when you have to make adjustments on the fly and you're not 100% familiar with who's lining up in front of you, like, that's kind of a pretty good test of what's going on out there.
Yes. Now, we'll say he's got pretty good people to block here. So even though there's familiarity, I'd say, and you get into routine and you get to know someone real well and what they do well, what they don't do as well, all that stuff. And that great points by Vrabel. But I would say that if Dylan Radins has some success against these guys, then that's also pretty good news.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm more interested in is how he talks about it afterwards.
Well, we'll have to find out. We'll find out later this week, potentially. We'll see what happens on that front. So, speaking of talking, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel did some talking yesterday, and Treylon Burks was a popular topic of conversation in terms of what his availability looks like as the Titans open up camp on the field today. And it sounds like things are trending in a positive direction with Treylon Burks. Here's what John Robinson and Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday on their rookie first-round pick.
John, were you guys able to come up with some solutions, you know, I guess physically, medically, whatever you want to say, for Treylon Burks since minicamp, and do you expect him to be, you know, ready to roll?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, he did a nice job in the conditioning test. He's been out here for a couple of days and has been running around well and made a couple of plays. So certainly excited with the trajectory that he's on, and, you know, we'll take it day by day. And, you know, bumps and bruises happen during training camp. Hopefully we don't have too many.
How do you feel about the way Treylon attacked his health this summer? And is he in a position to get through camp every day?
Well, I mean, he's put together two good days. I mean, I'm not going to predict, you know, who's going to be out there every day right now. Corey, I can't do that. I won't do that. You know, we're focusing on, you know, just daily improvement with each and every player. And, you know, we're excited to keep working with them. And but that's going to be the same for everybody. It's just trying to focus on today and how we approach and how we attack today. We'll have a lot of meetings today, and then we'll be out there, you know, bright and early tomorrow.
So that was John Robinson and Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing the Treylon Burks situation. So it kind of lines up to me, Joe, what we talked about yesterday with Diana Russini's report, that sounds like there's been some progress made with Treylon Burks. The conditioning test was passed from Treylon Burks. You heard Vrabel talk about how he's had two good days out there. So, I mean, I guess all indications are he's a full go and ready to be out there and a part of the practice today. What did you make of their comments on Treylon Burks yesterday?
I think they're important, because if things were not going well, or if they had issues to this point, Treylon Burks didn't have the off season, or, you know, the few weeks between the end of minicamp and the start of camp that they wanted, then I think that their comments yesterday would have been different. Would have been, well, probably just more non-committal.
Right.
We'll wait and see. We're hopeful. We believe in him, et cetera, et cetera. They wouldn't have been, yeah, it's rough, guys. Yeah. It's, yeah, you know, he's had a rough summer. It's not going well. They wouldn't have said that, but I don't think they would have said what they did say right there. So sounds like he did well in the conditioning test. I mean, there's no reason to be deceitful about things like this when everyone's about to see him on the field the next day.
Well, like, you know, Jared and Caroline threw out the question yesterday, like, do you believe Vrabel and Robinson when they're talking about Treylon Burks? And, like, it makes no sense to me for the Titans to lie about this. Number one, we're about to all see it today. Now, I will say this, Vrabel, I think, was careful there in saying that, you know, he's had two good days. He wasn't going to go down the road of, well, he's just totally got everything figured out now. I mean, look, he could get out there today and you tweak something. Or look, he could get out there today and all of a sudden he's winded and he's off the field again. I mean, that could happen. So I think Vrabel was careful about it, but I didn't anticipate that they were just – or didn't, I guess, come away with them being deceitful yesterday or anything like that.
Right. I mean, when you
– makes no sense to do that.
Well, and again, it's like, do you believe them? It's not like they're saying Treylon Burks is about to run a 4-2 out here and toast everyone and he's going to be rookie of the year. I mean, they were measured, but they were positive comments that I take for what they are, which is confirmation that he's done what he sure as hell should have done.
Yeah.
I mean, how could – like – the shocking thing here would be that he's not in better shape. The shocking thing here would be that he hasn't responded like a professional should, who has an incredible opportunity. So the shocking thing appears to have not happened.
And now we'll see what he does with it. I mean, I said this earlier. if this is what it's going to be and he's ready and he can be on the field throughout training camp, then you look back in the spring and it's really not that big a deal. Like, would you have loved for him to be out there and getting every rep that he could have? Sure, of course you would have. But if he's ready now and he can stay out there and stay healthy and get through practices and get those reps now, like, I don't think the spring's that big of a deal. Now, you'll have the counter argument of, well, he's a rookie. He needs every rep he could get, and he missed a lot of them in the spring. I understand that. He's going to get a lot of reps if he could stay on the field coming up. Now, where you do run into a problem, and you brought this up earlier, is if you do miss time coming up and there is a setback with an injury, or you're out, I don't know, you have some more conditioning problems coming up and you miss more time, all of a sudden you start to stack all that together from the spring and now in training camp as well, and then you do have a big problem. But if he's full go from here on out in camp, I don't really think spring's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think you just, it gives you a little more leeway if you had it. So John Robinson and Ryan Cowden, who had, I thought, a pretty interesting presser yesterday, were asked what would it take for the offense to do the same sort of thing the defense did last year, which really take a jump, or you could say just about do a freaking 180. Now, the offense doesn't need to do a 180. It needs to prove it can function without A.J. Brown and with a rebuild offensive line. But Ryan Cowden said, quote, "I think when guys are out there together, when you get the most work, if it's two guys missing this day, four guys, that makes it hard. And I think you see confidence come through when guys have put a lot of hours and reps, the old 10,000-hour rule. If you can get those guys out there together as a group, the more you get them out there, the more confidence you're going to have in each other. And I think that would translate into some success," end quote. So the 10,000-hour rule, I mean, the time matters, you know. So,
well, honestly, when he said that yesterday, I immediately thought of Julio last year, of the time missed in training camp.
Yeah, the difference being that Julio and Ryan Tannehill can talk through things just because Julio's been a great player in the league for so long, whereas Treylon Burks needs to see it and do it and all that. But I'm with you. If he's full go from here, then like, we're not going to be talking about no one ever talks about OTAs and stuff until you have to slog through them at the exact time of the OTAs.
Yeah.
And then you're thankful that it's different time of the football calendar. But because he missed that time in the spring, I mean, I do think that every rep matters for those guys. And if he's out there and he's not in the building and he's actually participating, then I think you're going to see Tannehill and Burks do a lot of what Tannehill and Hooper did during the spring, just get those extra throws in as well.
By the way, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace will be out there today live from Titans training camp. Our coverage of Titans training camp presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. We'll get to that coming up next on the other side. Robbie Stanley in the questions chair today, so looking forward to that. That is me. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Ben Arthur from the Tennessean coming up at 9 o'clock. All right, I'm in the questions chair today. Where would you like to begin, sports or non-sports, Joe Rex Road?
Let's go. It's a big sports day.
Okay.
Training camp. Let's go sports.
All right, so we'll just start with a Titans question that – I don't know how good these numbers are that I'm throwing out, but I'm going to throw them out anyway. What's more likely this year? Derrick Henry rushing for 1,700 yards, Treylon Burks with 900 yards receiving, or Austin Hooper with 9 touchdowns? So those are your three options. Derrick Henry, 1,700 yards rushing, Treylon Burks, 900 yards receiving, Austin Hooper, 9 touchdowns. What is more likely? The most likely.
You feel strong? You got.
I feel strong about Austin Hooper, 9 touchdowns. I think 9 touchdowns. I think Derrick Henry, 1,700 yards. That's still a lot.
It's a lot.
Maybe 15. And I think Treylon Burks is going to be around the 600 range. So, yeah, give me Austin Hooper. I feel the most confident in him heading into this season.
I'm right there, too. I'm going to go Hooper. I think Hooper's got a chance to be a 10-touchdown tight end this year.
I just want to point out he's never
overreacting.
He's never had more than 6.
Yes, I'm overreacting to OTAs, as
I know.
We just talked about not doing. But I just think I think he's going to be a very, very popular target for Tannehill, and I think in the red zone in particular. So, because I totally agree with what Michelle said. 1,700 is, it's a little bit high. And actually, I think that would probably be my third on the list, and I would probably go Burks 900 next. If Burks gets to 900, that's really good for the Titans.
I'm going Derrick Henry 1,700.
Boom.
Look, the guy was on pace for 2,200 last year before he got hurt.
That's the thing. He'll probably rush for 2,100, yeah. And we'll all be like, oh, yeah.
Well, look,
that's right.
Do I think here's going to be a drop-off? Not, you know, he'll have more production than he had last year because I think he'll stay healthy. So, we'll hopefully that's the case for him. But, I mean, he was on a pretty good pace last year. I say it's Derrick Henry. I don't know that any of them are going to happen. I mean, 9 touchdowns is a lot for Austin Hooper. Like I said, he's never had more than 6. 9's a pretty good number for a tight end. So, we'll see. But I'll go Derrick Henry at number one, most likely on that list.
That's a good one.
All right, switching to non-sports. In honor of the rant earlier, your least favorite part of traveling. You can take it any way you want to take it. It could be the airport security line. Whatever comes to mind, your least favorite part of traveling. Whether that be air traveling, drive traveling, wherever you want to take it.
Yeah, it's the whole thing with flying. I mean, it's
the whole process.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could boil it down. I think we've talked about this. You know, I had a scary experience. I've been flying, again, living overseas and everything as an Army brat. Like, I've been flying my whole life so much. But I had a scary experience a few years ago with an engine exploding and an emergency landing, which kept me from a wonderful Titans-Browns game. Yeah. Landed me in Knoxville. But it's weird because that shouldn't impact you. Like, I know what turbulence is. I've known it for my life. But for whatever reason, since that time, I'm not as good a flyer. And I get
weird.
Yeah, but see, but it shouldn't. Like, that's an engine exploding. Like, turbulence shouldn't, but it still does. Like, I can't help it. I get all nervous now in the air, and I never did. So that's it.
I don't have one like that.
Yeah, I hope I never have one like that, or I would be a nervous wreck as well. But mine, and I have done a rant on this as well, is the boarding process, especially when it's Southwest and you have to line up by the pillars and people just, what number are you? What number are you? What number are you? And then they're like trying to get in. B people are trying to get in the A group. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I can see your ticket. You are C. Get out of the A group. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. It's just so annoying. Or they're like breathing down your neck and they're like, I'm actually one in front of you. I'm like, I promise you, you will get the C. You. Oh, my God. It infuriates me. So, yes, that's mine.
Mine is similar to that, but it's like the deplaning process of like you're at the back of the plane.
It just takes and, so long.
You know, Adam
long.
Bingen ranted about this a couple weeks ago, but it's the combination of it taking forever, but it's also the guy sitting next to you that's in, you know, they're 43 rows back, but they feel like now's the time to stand up and just start messing with stuff and shuffling around, leaning over the top of you while you're doing this. And, like, I end up in the middle seat a lot somehow, and I'm just sitting here crunched over. Some guy's over the top of me getting his luggage out when he's not going to be out of the aisle for another 15 minutes. That's probably my least favorite part.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's bad.
Why would you because I was going to say, I am the guy who often stands as soon as, even though it's because I just need to stretch my legs. But yeah, why would you grab your luggage?
Like, people start doing it all the time.
Oh, it's so dumb.
And like, almost hit people. Like, these luggages are heavy.
It's like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't even started with the first
you'll
row.
You'll have
yet.
Your turn.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute before you get out of here.
We've had some good, airline, air travel, bloodletting today.
We have. My mother just texted me and says, y'all are stressing me out. I've got to get on a plane in a few hours. Sorry, Mom. Sorry about that. All right, back to sports. Better season this year, and you can take the season definition, I guess, however you want to take it. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Better season this year. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Who are you taking?
So, yeah, well let's –
the best out of the three are better than their season this past year.
Best out of the three.
Best out of three. But, and well, let's talk about how to take it. Are we talking just purely like QB rating or, just, I guess, team
whole
success?
Whole picture. Stats, whole team picture. Success. Who are you taking? Because, I mean, Lamar is going to play a little bit differently than Joe Burrow plays. Justin Herbert's going to throw for a billion yards this year. But the whole picture, who are you taking? Joe Burrow? Let's say the teams are equal. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Herbert.
Okay.
I at the risk of just being another, Chargers bandwagoner who's overlooking some of their issues. I do think he's a special talent, and I think that a lot of things are going to come together and they're going to be better, and he's going to emerge as a star this year. So I'm going to go with him, even though I think all three of them are going to have very good years.
See, I think people are a little bit too high on Justin Herbert. Don't get me wrong. I understand, where it's coming from and his skill set he has.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the hype basically saying they're Super Bowl contenders when he hasn't made a postseason run. But I get your answer. I'm going to go Joe Burrow just because of what we saw from him last year, coming off an ACL, being the most sacked quarterback, not having an offensive line, and then the Bengals being able to beef up on that in the offseason, him still having his weapons, on offense. So give me Burrow. Also just got his appendix out. But.
He did have that. So one less
hopefully
appendix
quicker.
For Joe Burrow.
Yeah, quick recovery.
He's going to be even better. Get rid of that appendix.
That's right. Look, I think this is really close. I think I'm going Lamar. I've kind of hinted at this all offseason. Like, to me, the Ravens have had a sneaky good offseason. And they were, I know Titans fans don't really have time for this, but they were pretty hurt last year, too. I mean, think about his running back situation before the season even began last year. They were all hurt. So I think Baltimore is going to bounce back in a pretty big way this year. I think they're going to win the AFC North. And I think they're going to do some damage in the playoffs, too. So I will go Lamar out of those three. But I think they're all going to be phenomenal this year.
All different answers, all good answers.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a tough one.
All right, last question here, non-sports. In honor of Aaron Rodgers dressing up as Cameron Poe from Con Air yesterday heading into Packers training camp, your favorite Nicolas Cage movie. Your favorite Nicolas Cage movie. Michelle, I'll give you some time to Google search it if you want to.
Thank you.
So if we're going to go, like, best movie he's made.
Just your favorite.
Yeah, because this wouldn't be it. But I want to give a shout-out to Leaving Las Vegas, which is a brutal and very good movie with Elizabeth Shue and Nicolas Cage. And I want to say that that might have been Oscar nominee anyway. Okay.
He's been in a lot.
Well, he's been in a lot.
Some of which are very bad.
Well, so I think Raising Arizona is my answer.
Okay.
It's an incredible movie by the Coen brothers. I think their second movie. Please watch Raising Arizona. If you never watched Raising Arizona, yeah, put it on the list.
Joe just looks at me.
I know, I'm looking at you. Looking at you, Michelle. But I will also say, if we can count it, because he's in for like 2 seconds, he's in Fast Times.
He is.
So if we can count that one, that's my answer. Otherwise, Raising Arizona.
Okay.
Go ahead. Oh,
I know it's a big surprise to you guys, but I actually had a movie. I didn't even have to Google. I just had to remember the exact name of the movie, National Treasure. And I know.
Oh, yeah.
That actually is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
I'm a history junkie when it comes to that type of stuff, and I've watched that so many times. So that one's my favorite movie by Nicolas Cage.
I've heard. Have you never seen it? I haven't.
It's good. Joe, it's really good.
I've heard I must watch it. So
National Treasure's up there for me, too. I think Con Air is actually my answer. I really love Con Air.
I mean, Con Air is pretty sweet, man. Come on.
Okay, I've never seen it.
Face Off.
Yeah.
Con Air, The Rock. He had a run there, late 90s.
He did.
Action flicks, you know?
He did. I mean, let's be honest. You can't go wrong with Nicolas Cage. You actually can. Like, Ghost Rider was so bad that it was memorable, if that makes any sense. Like, I watched Ghost Rider, and I was like, man, this sucks. But I still, every time it's on TV, like, I watch some of them. Like, okay.
Yeah, I miss that one, too. Gotta say.
I don't know that I would recommend it to you.
By the way, when he was in Fast Times, he was still Nicholas Coppola. He's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew. Then he went to Nick Cage. Another one, Peggy Sue Got Married. Underrated. Underrated. Peggy Sue Got Married. What's that?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. It's like basically a ripoff of Back to the Future, but pretty good.
Good. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. We'll look ahead to Titans training camp on the field opening up today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.